The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
It's the final hour of the Paul Feinbaum Show for this Tuesday afternoon slash evening. Tom Hart in for Paul. Welcome along all of you, no matter where you may be. We'll take your calls at 855-242-7285. A lot of great college football talk already today. We had Missouri football coach Eli Drinkwitz on. Cole Kublik stopped by to talk about his predictions. Bill Conley from ESPN.com has his Big 12 preview out. Big 10 coming. SEC down the road. Richard Johnson from Split Zone Duo and from Thinking Out Loud was on as well. So we're just going to continue this role. We're going to talk to a guy who knows what it's like to win a national championship. Buck Ballou has a brand new show on 680 The Fan. It's his own show, the Buck Ballou Show, from 10 to 11 Monday through Friday on 680 The Fan. He joins us now. Buck, hey, congrats on the new show, and thanks for taking some time to join us today.
Hey, good to be with you, Tom. Yeah, I put in some work, 20 years getting ready for this, so I sort of feel like I'm ready for the challenge at this point.
Yeah, I hope so. You've been talking college football a long time, and you played it as well, obviously. What's your take on any sort of, and no matter how you measure it, any sort of pressure that's on Kirby Smart this season, and how would he quell that? What would it take to quell it?
Win the national championship. And that's ultimately what these Bulldog fans want. It's been, you know, over four decades since this happened. And he's been knocking on the door. He's done a great job. Gosh, I spent a few years screaming from Stone Mountain here in the metro Atlanta area to go over to Alabama and get Kirby Smart in here. He was Georgia's best shot to get this thing rolling. And it's been close, man. I mean, they had Alabama beat in the national title a couple years ago, let them off the hook in overtime. And then, you know, turn around the next year, Alabama clips them in the SEC title game. And then now it's been a couple of years since they've been in the college football playoffs. But this might be his best team yet.
What makes it so? What makes this his best team? And then the second part of that question is, what does this team have that Georgia has been missing in their quest for a national championship?
Well, I think the last 2 years they were held back by this wide receiver core, and that weakness is no longer a weakness as I see it. Even without George Pickens available, through most of the year, apparently. So, you know, with Gilbert transferring in from LSU, he looks like an ex-wide receiver that replaces Pickens, and they've got really a good collection of weapons at the wide receiver group. And I tell you, I'm really excited about seeing Darnell Washington, the second-year tight end, who's just a beast of a young football player and, you know, just sort of finding his way in college football a year ago. Now, a year later, he's comfortable in the scheme. He is in the best shape of his life. And I just hope Monken is sitting around figuring out ways to target him in these games, especially that first one against Clemson. They're going to need a difference maker, and I think Darnell Washington could be that. You know, defensively, that's been Kirby's thing, and they've certainly gotten rid of one weakness in the cornerback spot with Kendrick coming in, Tyke Smith from West Virginia coming in. They plugged them in the secondary, and now that doesn't look like a weakness either. So, to me, just overall, offense, defense, the kicker, the punter, you know, this looks like his best team to me.
Number one in the country against the rush last year, Georgia defense, 88th in the pass, in the end, 12th overall defensively. You know, I think it's really interesting when you talk about this Monken offense. What will they allow it to be? Obviously, a great running back core again. I mean, always. It's just wave after wave of elite running backs, very similar to Alabama over the years in that regard. But the wide receivers, while Pickens is out, we don't know exactly, because we didn't get to see them healthy less in the spring. And even during the spring game, not all of the weapons were out there. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. But I'm also, and I think you can only talk about JT Daniels in the scope of the weapons that he has to work with. Assuming that the wide receiving core is full go, understanding that Pickens isn't going to be back until the very late in the season, if at all, what's the ceiling for JT Daniels?
Well, I'm convinced he's about to have a big season, and I would expect him to jump to the NFL after the season if he's going to play like I think he's going to play. Look, Todd Monken's a pass-first guy. That's where we are in 2021. You're spreading the field with four and five wide receivers, and you're throwing the ball around. Now, you know, Kirby has not been a big fan of that, I don't believe. His philosophy is a little different. He likes the ground and pound thing, but I believe because of the confidence that Kirby has in JT Daniels and his decision-making, he makes a lot of good, quick decisions, gets him out of bad plays into good ones, and that was in his first year in the system. He's going to be even better with that this year. I think because of his confidence in Daniels, he's willing now to go that road less traveled by, for him at least, and throw that football around and lead with the passing game. And look, Burton flashed enough for me to believe that he's a really good all-around wide receiver. I was talking to Lindsey Scott about this earlier today. Kyaris Jackson at the slot looks like a really legitimate number three. And then you're hoping Blaylock comes back. I think Rosemy Jack-Saint, who had that freakish injury in the Florida game where he caught the touchdown pass and went down injured, he looks like he's now ready to go. Arian Smith, he's running that 100-meter-yard dash. Really lighten that up as far as a speed receiver. And, you know, he flashed a little bit last year. So, look, all in all, this receiver group, they go 8 to 10 deep there. And it's no longer looking like a weakness. So, I think Kirby, his confidence in JT to make these right decisions will allow Monken to do more of the lead with the passing game.
There's no doubt. Buck Belue is our guest, former Georgia quarterback, a host on 680 The Fan in Atlanta for the last 21 years, and now his own show coming up Monday through Friday as well. Buck, do you have a sense for what took so long to get JT Daniels cleared? I mean, we talked to him before the Kentucky game, and there was an expectation that he was, you know, he said, I'm ready. Was it the Georgia doctors? Was it the USC doctors? Was it the doctor who performed the surgery that wouldn't clear him? Why did it take so long to get him on the field?
I'd love to ask him that. Look, I don't believe, and I saw his father's comment a year ago, or maybe it was during the offseason here, where he was saying he was thankful that they didn't rush his son back onto the football field before his knee was ready. So I don't think anybody really knows the answer to that question outside of Kirby and JT and Monken. You know, I can only assume the knee didn't pass the strength test to get on the field, and that's what held him back as far as getting out there. I knew from the beginning, though, he was the best option, just based on what he had done his freshman year at SC, which really should have been a senior year in high school. I watched all of those games his freshman year with the Trojans and left really impressed with a guy that could make all the throws, very accurate with the football, manipulated the pocket very well, a good leader. The team seemed to rally around him, and then we saw him take that to a new level in the four games a year ago.
Buck Belue is our guest. Buck, who is Georgia's biggest threat this season?
Well, it comes at the beginning of the year when you've got to contend with Brent Venables and that very aggressive defense. If there's a question mark for Georgia right now, it's going to be the offensive line. So can they protect JT Daniels? But can they block that Clemson defensive front with Miles Murphy and Brian Breesy, Tyler Davis, Xavier Thomas? I mean, this is a very talented front. Skalski in the middle is a heck of a player at linebacker. So it's a big hurdle to start the year. And then I'm assuming you're going to see Georgia-Alabama in the SEC title game. And I don't need to tell you or anybody listening to the show that Alabama has really owned Georgia here, even since Kirby took over. So you got the big hurdle to start the year. You got the biggest challenge probably at the end of the year.
Well, Saban has owned all of his former assistants. You got an article up, by the way, from a month ago, and we all know that too, from a month ago on 680thefan.com, where you break down the top quarterbacks in the Deep South. You have DJ Ungalale at number 4, JT Daniels 3, Sam Howell from North Carolina 2, and Ole Miss's Matt Corral number 1. How did you come to those rankings?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, you know, it wasn't based on the metrics. My goodness, I was reading Pro Football Focus rated JT Daniels 23rd in college football, 6th in the SEC. So, you know, anybody giving me a hard time about my ratings, I'm gonna still feel good about it. You're looking at what Pro Football Focus did to JT Daniels. I had Bryce Young 5, and look, this is based on a lot of projection, right? I mean, he's only thrown 22 passes last season, but I saw him in the spring game, really looked impressive. I mean, he's got some playmakers. He's got a really good offensive line, apparently. Bill O'Brien takes over the control of the offense. I think this kid has a presence that you could see, even if you just saw the spring game, that he's going to be special. DJ Uiagalelei, I think he's got the biggest arm in college football. You're going to see them spread the field, 4 and 5 wide receivers. He'll throw a ton of short passes outside the numbers, very accurate with the big arm. And I think he'll be in the best shape of his life, too. You know, JT Daniels, I've told you what I thought about him. Really comfortable in the scheme, makes a lot of good, quick decisions, accurate, manipulates the pocket very well. Sam Howell, probably the best deep ball thrower in college football, and that scheme is totally built around him at North Carolina, so you know he's going to thrive. And I'll tell you the thing I like about him is you don't see a lot of these 4 and 5 interception games that bite people in the butt like Matt Corral last year. Remember, yeah, he had, what, 6 against Arkansas, 5 against LSU? But if you threw that, push that aside, you'd see the most accomplished quarterback, at least in the Deep South. He's got the stats running that Kiffin scheme, gunslinger style. He's fearless. I was impressed overall. Talk about metrics, total QBR, all of college football. Corral's number 3 last year, avoids the sack. Dynamic in that he can hurt you with his legs and does that in the red zone. But there's a lot to like about all these guys. And, you know, it's not easy coming to it, but, you know, it's just a gut instinct and just looking at what they've already accomplished.
Well, I don't disagree with you in your rankings. I think that Matt Corral has a huge advantage with Lane Kiffin as a play caller because we saw it again last year, just like we saw it with Lane at Alabama. There are plays that he draws up, even in negative territory, that he knows are going to be successful as soon as the ball is snapped. And that's a huge advantage for a quarterback like Matt Corral. Along those same lines, with Bryce Young at Alabama, I'm really curious to see what Bill O'Brien can do. This guy who, you know, when he was at Georgia Tech, he was so versatile, they checked from one time from 5 wide into the wishbone. So they come out pre-snap, they got 5. No, we're checking into the wishbone here inside the 10-yard line. What do you expect from the former Texans head coach and Penn State head coach as an offensive coordinator under Nick Saban?
Yeah, I'm anxious to find that out. You know, there's just this bad taste in the mouth with what happened in the NFL there at the end with the Texans, obviously. He lost control of that in a hurry. But, you know, he's got a good track record at the college level. And you know, I think the players will respect what what he brings to the table. You know, a lot of it just remains to be seen. What Sarkisian did a year ago was really amazing. I was from week to week and seeing some of the things that he was able to draw up and get Devontae Smith open, get him the football in space when everybody out there was trying to lock down on him was really amazing. You know, Bill O'Brien's got some big shoes to fill there at Alabama.
No doubt about it. Buck, you got big shoes to fill because now your show is in your own name. So you've got to live up to your own reputation on the air, 680 The Fan, Monday through Friday. So good
luck.
Hey,
I've been booed before. And, you know, we were able to get through it. But, yeah, we're just excited, man. You know, I've invested a lot into Atlanta. This is the job I've always wanted, working here 5 days a week and then doing a little work on the weekend, doing a Saturday morning college football show we've done for 20 years. And then, you know, spending the rest of the time with the family. It's been a great fit for me and just so excited to have this opportunity.
Well, that's fantastic. Congratulations. And I actually had a chance to listen to your Saturday morning show this week, this past season, because I was actually in Atlanta running errands on Saturday mornings, getting ready for my games instead of on the road. Thanks for taking some time to spend with us. We certainly appreciate it.
You're doing a great job, man. Keep it up. We appreciate it, Tom.
All right, Buck. That's Buck Ballew, national championship quarterback from the University of Georgia and radio host at 680 The Fan. Great stuff on the quarterbacks in the Deep South, from Bryce Young to JT Daniels to Matt Corral and Sam Howell. That guy knows his quarterbacks because he is one. By the way, he's got De'Aaron King, sixth Miami quarterback. De'Aaron King's going to put up some massive numbers this season. The Feinbaum Show will continue. We'll take your calls, 855-242-7285. 855-242-7285. We're still trying to figure out who that SEC head coach was that did not turn his camera on during the Zooms that Eli Drinkwitz told us about a little bit ago here on the show. We'll get your best guesses on that and plenty more as the Feinbaum Show continues right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Coming on the stretch run of the Paul Feinbaum Show on this Tuesday afternoon. Tom Hart sitting in for Paul today. Tomorrow, early look, peek at our guest list. Andy Kennedy will join us. Greg McElroy will be on to talk some Alabama SEC football. Jordan Rogers, talk a little bit more SEC football tomorrow. We'll get moved closer and closer to SEC Media Day. Starts on Monday. And that'll be all over the place, SEC Network, College Football Live, the Feinbaum Show, everything else. Trust me, you'll see the coverage. We'll take your calls, 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. A little quick recap of the show. We had Missouri football coach Eli Drinkwitz on earlier. He talked about a bet that he has going with Lane Kiffin, a weight loss bet, and the diets that they're both on, and whatever Lane suggested to him, but it's not like fruit and hot yoga. Who would be the SEC coach outside of Lane Kiffin that you would expect to do hot yoga? Leach would be a guy that I could imagine. If you're walking around in Key West and you poke your head in, you see him walking out of a hot yoga place with a mat under his arm. Just, you know, getting in there, sweating a little bit, moving on. He also said that there was a coach – he wouldn't name him, which I respect, but there was a coach during the SEC coaches calls that didn't turn his Zoom camera on. My bosses wouldn't allow me to get away with that. So you have these league-wide, with all the head football coaches on Zoom meetings, regular basis, and talking about serious stuff, you know, back in the late summer and what would we normally call it fall once the season starts, but it's still pretty much summerish. Hey, here's how the season's going to work. Here are the things that we're going to put into play. Here are the things that we've considered, what's important to you, and all these basically, they're not really negotiations, but discussions among the coaches to decide what works best for the league and how Greg Sankey and others are going to go about their business. And one of them didn't turn his Zoom camera on. But he talked about resiliency and being a resilient program and that being what it took to get through that season. You know, every program had to deal with players that were unhealthy or in COVID protocol. They also had to deal with players, and every year there are players who maybe don't want to get out there and practice on a Tuesday afternoon. And there are players that show up and say, oh, coach, I got a cough. I don't think I can go today. Or with so many players opting out, this is the discussion I had regularly with football coaches last year. How hard can I push my guys? Can I push my guys this year as hard as it would in a normal season to get the best out of them, to try and get them through this wall or over this hurdle and give them a kick in the butt, which sometimes is better appreciated after the fact than it is in that moment? Or do I have to handle them with kid gloves because maybe this is a guy that could maybe just bounce and just be done and say, nah, I'm going to go ahead and sit this out the rest of the way? That's certainly possible, and that was a concern for coaches throughout the season. Cole Kublik was by. He talked about his expectations for this SEC season. And one thing that stood out to me that surprised me a little bit was the idea that South Carolina could surprise some people, that they could find more wins than otherwise expected. I don't know what that number is. Chris Burke was by. We talked about the MLB draft. 80% of the picks in this year's Major League Draft came from – this is a number he got from Kevin O'Sullivan. Let me rewind this. 80% of the first-round picks, 80% of the first-round picks were college players. Came from NCAA institutions, not high school players. So what MLB has shown, and we got the All-Star game tonight with terrible uniforms, by the way. What Major League Baseball has shown by cutting minor league teams, by cutting the draft, is they're more than happy to have college baseball be the farm system in many ways for the professional ranks and for the MLB ranks to get guys ready to be MLB players. Also earlier on the Paul Feinbaum show today, we had Richard Johnson at RJ_writes from Split Zone Duo and Thinking Out Loud. And we talked about the idea that Dan Mullen as a quarterback whisperer could be in a situation with Emory Jones at quarterback where they can be more versatile offensively because they got a guy that can get up and down the field and they can run for a little bit. So that's certainly part of it. Bill Conley stopped by. He referred to Kansas Dire as being Kansas Dire. SP Plus is his predictive tool that you can read about and right now about the Big 12. He'll have the Big 10 coming tomorrow and then the SEC, I think he was saying next week, just in time for SEC Media Days, I would assume. And then having Buck Ballew on and talking about what Bill O'Brien could do with this Alabama offense, I think is fascinating. I was there the day in 2012 in State College, Pennsylvania, when he was announced as Penn State's new head coach. And with all due respect to Bill O'Brien, he didn't have
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
An inkling of what he was stepping into in that mess after the massive scandal and then the sanctions that came along to end the Joe Paterno era. It wasn't just the NCAA that blew up that program. It was also the media that did so. And Bill O'Brien came in and steadied that ship, kept things together. They went eight games. Matt McGloin was the perfect quarterback for him at the time. They had a pretty good year in 2013. Then he goes off to the NFL, and he was – ready to go. He was absolutely ready to go. Now he does it and he comes back to the college game. You know, some writers have referred to him as damaged goods after what happened with the Texans, and certainly didn't end in a good way. And Buck mentioned that, talked about it a little bit. But he comes back However, as a reclamation project, and we've seen how that works out under Nick Saban. We've seen what coordinators have been able to do for themselves by doing well for the program and doing well with specific quarterbacks, national championships, national championship runs. And I'm really anxious to see how that works out, right? I mean, it worked for Steve Sarkisian, now the head coach of Texas. It worked for Lane Kiffin, who has now moved on and has had one of the most dynamic offenses in the country now at Ole Miss as an offensive coordinator that comes in and slides under Nick Saban and gets back on their feet. So is Bill O'Brien the next? Man, I'm not going to doubt him, especially given his history and what he has at quarterback and what he has throughout the rest of that team. We're going to continue to take your calls, 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. And when we return, we're going to talk more about coaches on the hot seat in college football, what's right and what's wrong about the list that came out today. That's after this as the Paul Feinbaum Show continues.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Wrong with a little Toto. Tom Hart in for Paul Feinbaum. We'll take your calls. We'll get to Jack in just one moment. But news out of the University of Tennessee this afternoon. Athletics Director Danny White announced contract extensions for 9 coaches this afternoon. The headline to me is Tony Vitello. He got a raise and an extension after taking Tennessee to its first College World Series since 2005. Rick Barnes and Lady Vols coach Kelly Harper also got 2-year contract extensions. The rowing coach, swimming and diving coach, and on and on. But Vitello was a guy that they were going to lose. And he was hired in 2017, got an extension and raise following 2019. He was set to earn $600,000 this year before incentives, and that is going to jump to $1.5 million. He has more than doubled his salary. In addition to the $1.5 million annual salary, he'll also receive, Tony Vitello, baseball coach at Tennessee, 75% of bat and equipment manufacturer endorsements. Anything in excess of $100,000 as part of his contract, that is the jackpot, the lottery ticket for Tony Vitello, who was highly sought after in many ways in this previous baseball offseason. But most importantly, that Tennessee success got the attention of the folks who write the big checks. And so congratulations to Tony Vitello, with more than doubling his salary, going to $1.5 million. That puts him probably top 6 college baseball coaches, just off the top of my head, maybe top 5. Anyway, that's the news out of Knoxville today. We will continue to take your calls, 855-242-7285, to be part of the Paul Feinbaum Show, 855-242-7285. Let's go to Florida as we hear from Jack. Hey, Jack, how are you today?
Great. Thank you for taking my call. Really, 2 points. Number one, I wanted to say that statistic, 80% of the draftees were college ballplayers. I think that is an extremely healthy sign that college baseball the quality of it just continues to grow and grow. I played on the 1983 national championship team at Texas, and we had 8 guys off that team who played in the big leagues. And one of them, Roger Clemens, almost at the end of the summer, he was in the big leagues straight off the campus. I think kids are a lot more ready these days. Coming out of college to step right into the big leagues and even skip the farm clubs. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to say, last week, one of your callers called and made a very interesting statement that I had never thought about. In order to help, by the way, I'm all for the expanded playoff in college football. What about the idea of a draft of high school players coming into college? That would be the key way to avoid, Alabama and Ohio State and whomever else dominating, year in and year out. But to have some kind of draft where kids are drafted out of high school into a college program and they get paid and it's a job and that sort of thing. I want to throw that idea out there and see what you all thought about that.
Jack, let me ask you. So you played college baseball at the University of Texas in the early 80s. You guys won the national championship in 83 with guys like Calvin Schiraldi and Billy Bates and under Cliff Gustafson. and Roger Clemens. Where are you from originally? Where'd you play high school baseball?
Okay, you're from Texas. I played high school at Conroe, north of Houston.
So in your scenario, you say, I want to go play college baseball, and I live in Conroe, Texas. What happens if you get drafted in your scenario by the Maine Black Bears?
By the Maine Black Bears? You mean to play football?
No, to play baseball. Let's keep it in your world, and like baseball would be. You're saying if colleges could draft players instead of having recruiting, what happens if you go? They say, well, you want to play college baseball, Jack. You live in Conroe, Texas. Well, the guys up in Maine had your pick. Sorry, Clemens went 1-1, and he's going to Texas. And Schiraldi went 15th overall, and he's going to Texas A&M. But Maine had your pick, and you're going to Maine. How would you feel about that?
Oh, that's a great point. I haven't fully thought through it. I would have trouble going to Maine. But something I don't know the solution to how to keep just a handful of programs from completely dominating, and then the college playoffs are boring. But it's a great point. I don't disagree with you. I don't know how it would work.
I hate to burst your bubble. I hate to burst your bubble, but I'm here to tell you it wouldn't work. You can't have a draft for – now, listen, in baseball, as you well know, there are alternatives. If you don't want to go play college ball, you can get drafted, out of high school, although the draft has been shrunken now. You can go to community college, go JUCO, and like Clemens did, right? Go to San Jack, and if you end up playing a year or two there, then go D1. That's great. And turn down the draft as many times as you want. Mike Owings, who played at Georgia Tech and Tulane, turned down the draft three different times before he finally went after his senior year. Before we let you go, though, I'm curious because I'm obviously a college baseball nerd. What was it like? What was Cliff Gustavson like? What was it like to play for him?
That team, in my opinion, I'm biased, of course, but as best I've seen, that's the best college baseball team I've ever seen. Our entire infield played the big leagues. Cliff was a very stern guy, a very no-nonsense guy, and the team was a little bit wild, in the beginning because it was so talented. But through the course of the season, wow, we really got our sea legs and became a machine. That was a fantastic ball club.
That was Jack, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. That was one of the teams that gave me an appreciation for the College World Series even after the fact, right? We'd watch College World Series reruns, and once Roger Clemens was already in the big leagues, pitching for the Red Sox in 1986 and that great team they had, that dude played in the College World Series? And then the more I learned about it, Barry Bonds played in the College World Series. I don't remember Mike Schmidt reruns and highlights, but when he was at Ohio, he played in the College World Series, and we're going to see more and more of this, the way Major League Baseball has now absolutely dug its teeth into what college baseball does from a production standpoint and using it as a farm system to get Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker as top 10 picks. 80% of the first round picks in this year's draft came from college baseball instead of trying to project where a high school kid might end up and what he's going to be. They know what these guys are. They have a very good feel for what they are based on what they did in the SEC or what they did in the Pac-12 or Big 12. And so that's why you saw those results. We've got more to come. We want to take your calls, and we'll revisit some of the show that we've already had today. 855-242-7285. Appreciate Jack calling. There will not be a high school draft. That is not going to happen. Back with the Paul Feinbaum Show as we continue after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.